Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Did you know that it takes over 100 talented people to put a show like this together? A show like this. Ours is put together by three winos.
Johnny was always such a big part of our life. I watched him with my family every night. All I really wanted was to do something to make my parents happy.
Can I help? Tonight show, please.
You know what time it is? There's nobody here but me and you and maybe a raccoon. Come back tomorrow afternoon.
Don't get too excited, but word is we're going to find you a job here.
Who's this? New courtship?
No. He's just helping out.
Carry on.
Fred DeCordova, executive producer. Writers, they're animals.
I take this to Mr. Carson's house? If you lose this, America has no jokes tonight.
All right, it's Dave Pleyer on 720 WGN. So 35 years after his first major movie role in Diner, and from his earliest appearances on The Tonight Show, My Two Dads, Mad About You, to the streaming trifecta of Amazon's Red Oaks, Netflix's Stranger Things, and Hulu's There's Johnny, a coming-of-age story which follows a kid who, up till now, has never left Nebraska and is now caught up in the glamorous fast lane of Hollywood. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, and behind the scenes of the early 1970s Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. Paul Reiser has seen and done it all, and he's joining us this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Nicely said.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you, I just love the very concept behind this project. I saw the first four episodes, and I'm already hooked.
Ah, great. That makes me very happy to hear. This is I'm really proud of the way this show came out, and this has been a labor of love. I've been working on this for on and off for almost like 12 years. And a buddy of mine, who's a writer, who we've written stuff over the years, and we had this idea of what if we loved watching Johnny Carson show as, sure. You know, as a teenager, like that was the place you wanted to be. Like, look, that just looks fun, and to be a comedian, wow. And it was an exciting time because it just seemed like they were all having a great time. So we thought of, well, let's set a show there and put a kid who's as wide-eyed or more than we were.
Right.
And the only reason it took so long to get made was we thought it would be terrific if we could get the cooperation of the Carson Company and actually use the clips, use Johnny's clips within our show to show that that's what we were making. We were making that show that you know. So it took a couple of years till they felt comfortable and ready to do this. And it came out so great, and it gives it such an authentic feel when you see actual Johnny clips.
Yeah.
Think, well, it must be true because there he is.
Well, you know, Jeff Satzing, who's the protector of the Johnny Carson estate and brand. And
my partner on this.
Yes, yeah. And his uncle and one of Johnny's actually original producers. And
right.
He's been on the program here before. And I have to think that he really trusts you to do right by Johnny because no one else has really ever touched this content before.
Right. Well, and that was one of the things that a responsibility that I really took to heart is that, and I think you're right. I think the reason he ultimately trusted me to do this is, you know, he knew how fondly I regarded Johnny and how reverential I am, and all comics in my day, you know, all of us peers were that Johnny was the guy. But also, I was on a lot. There was a period in the late '80s and early '90s. Johnny had me on like every couple of months, and so he took a shine to me and was very supportive. And he was very supportive of comedians in general.
He was.
Just always wanted to give everybody a shot and make them shine. So they knew that I would take care and put forth Johnny in the way that we held him, in the same sort of reverence. But the great thing about this show is, for those of us who remember Johnny, it's great to see him in a show. For people in their 20s who don't know Johnny, that's fine. You don't need to. You'll enjoy having seen him once learning about him. But it's not about Johnny. It's about these two kids. Like you said, this young kid who comes out wide-eyed from Nebraska, and he meets this 24-year-old girl who's never left Beverly Hills. And it's sort of couldn't be more polar opposites. And it's really a show about the people behind the scenes. And Johnny is this terrifically entertaining backdrop. But it's really, and it's also a very interesting time. You know, 1972, it was Watergate in Vietnam and the beginning of women's lib as a movement.
Right.
And it's when Johnny moved the show to California and it took on the shine that it did. It was huge. I mean, it was just there weren't as many places to watch television.
No, they're right, yeah.
Right? So, and Johnny, I mean, I forget the numbers, but whatever we think is a big show now, they would have 20 million people a night.
Oh, it was Super Bowl. I mean, yeah. Seriously,
yes.
That separate ratings.
Yes.
You were 5 when Johnny debuted on The Tonight Show in the early 60s. You were. And when was the first time you yourself remember watching Johnny and kind of discovering him?
It's, you know, in my recollection, I only pictured the California set, which was 72.
Sure.
But I know that I must have been watching from New York. I grew up in New York, and I know that I had seen it. I would say 70, 71 is when I remember,
mm-hmm.
Because I would tune in and, you know, try and stay up late on a school night because George Carlin was going to be on or
yeah.
Robert Klein was going to be on. And, you know, but I remember it was 68, John Lennon and Paul McCartney were on. And Johnny wasn't there that day. It was an off day. And Joe Garagiola was the host.
Oh, my God.
And it was a very misguided, unfortunate pairing.
Sure.
But there's no tape of it. And we actually did a story about this. You'll see in the last episode. We've already mentioned it in the first couple episodes. When they went to make their 10th anniversary show in 1972, in October of 72, that's when they first found out there were no clips. The first 10 years were lost to history because somebody upstairs decided to reuse the tapes. So they erased them.
Well, yeah, and I think I told you I'm part of this Museum of Broadcast Communications in
right?
Chicago, and
right.
that's what we've kind of discovered over the years is not only the actual content itself, but the set pieces and stuff all just ended up in the garbage. I think there's some audio from the first Tonight Show, but that's it.
Yeah, I think that's true. And then there are many... it took me a while to understand there are a lot of old black and white clips that we've seen, but they're just little isolated clips.
Right.
Over the years, over those first 10 years, somebody would say, you know, can I just get that 3-minute piece? And they would make him a copy. And that's what exists. So when you see the Ed Ames and the Tomahawk, that famous
right.
blooper, that was luckily preserved because I guess he must have asked for a copy of that.
Amazing.
So now when we made There's Johnny, it's all archived, so we can go on the Carson website and say, "Yeah, let me see when Sammy Davis was on."
Sure, yeah. Hello,
or
yeah.
Even by the word, you say, "Is there any jokes about bikinis?" And you go pull up that. So I was like a kid in a candy shop. You know, I get to watch all these and decide what goes into our show, and it's just it's a wonderful ride to go back in time, and for me to watch these shows that I hadn't seen in.
Sure.
40, 50 years.
And a lot of these jokes still stand up as funny as they were yesterday just because of Johnny's stylings, you know, and how he handled himself.
Yeah, and what you see in watching, and as I say, Johnny is the bonus. He's the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But what you see is how well he lasts. The reason he lasted so long was he was like a comfort.
Yeah.
He was comforting. He wasn't abrasive. He wasn't shouting. You know, it was a different vibe back then. And television was not intent on being instantly memorable. You know, we didn't need the 2-minute clip that'll play on YouTube tomorrow. It was come and spend an hour. Spend it over
90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're just come to this party. And the other thing is you had to stay up to watch it. So he knew people were watching in their pajamas.
That's
people
right.
watching in bed.
Yeah.
And he was part of your life. And you can see, you know, how well he wore. Anyway.
His presence was absolutely incredible, legendary.
There you go. Nicely put.
And, you know, you mentioned your first appearances on The Tonight Show. What do you remember about that first time being in Burbank in the studio?
It was, you know, for a young comic, that was the pot of gold. That's all you saw was looking ahead. Someday I want to get on The Tonight Show with Johnny. And it wasn't like any other show. You can get into great other shows, too. But it wasn't the stamp of approval that Johnny Carson was, in two ways. A, to get on the show, well, that was currency that America and my family would understand. Suddenly your parents go, he's on the Johnny Carson show.
Yeah,
that's
hello.
Pretty cool. But then, above and beyond that, you needed Johnny to like you. So when you got the thumbs up and you got the okay sign from Johnny, or if he got invited back, which I was fortunate enough to be, then you felt like, okay, I'm in the
club. You made
it.
Yeah, I made exactly.
It.
Yeah,
so absolutely. That was, yeah, it was all of that. That's how exciting it was.
You revered Johnny. What were some of your other comedy influences, Paul?
Oh, you know what? I got to put some of them on the show. Like George Carlin. I was a huge George Carlin fan. And so when, in that very first episode, we found this fantastic clip that was perfectly fit our story. Robert Klein, certainly Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner were huge influences for me. But I remember on The Tonight Show, David Brenner and David Steinberg.
Oh, sure.
All very different stuff. Albert Brooks. You know, there's so many. And Johnny was a great fan of comedy. Yeah. He really showcased Steve Martin. You know, he really gave them their first national exposure.
I know you truly respect these comedians who laid the groundwork for so many, and I knew that long before this project, simply based on some of the legendary guest stars you had on Mad About You. And not only did you have Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and Carol Burnett on the show, but you brought Carl Reiner back as Alan Brady, which I always thought was damn cool.
One of our brilliant writers came up with that idea, and Carl Reiner, who had for years resisted ever being on another sitcom, when he heard that, he said, to come back as Alan Brady, his character from the Dick Van Dyke Show. Yeah. He said, got to do it. And that was sort of it was sort of mind-blowing, because it suddenly made the Dick Van Dyke Show seem real.
Like, yeah, right.
Oh, this guy exists. He's been standing there for the last 40 years waiting for somebody to call him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I mentioned to you, with all that, a couple years ago when Carson Entertainment struck the agreement with one of our sister networks, Antenna TV, to air The Tonight Show, you know, people are, of course, you know, rediscovering the show. But I truly believe with this series, There's Johnny, that you co-created here, that viewers watching it, you know, just for the story itself, might be discovering Johnny Carson for the very first time.
Well, that's one of the nice bonuses of it. I mean, as I say, you don't have to know anything. And, you know, and 20-year-olds, we had a lot of 20-year-old actors coming in who were not familiar with Johnny. They knew his name, but they just missed it.
Right.
So I always tell people, you don't need to know anything. But a nice treat is that when you leave our show, you will have gotten a taste and realize, oh, we get it now. We understand why Johnny was Johnny. But the show, so it has this, you know, in the same way Alan Brady seemed real now because he was on our show on Mad About You, this show seems real. It's like Johnny is a part
He's
of
there.
These people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my experience. When I was on the show, I didn't hang out with Johnny, and you didn't see him. I didn't, other than when I was on the set. But you always sensed him. You know, if he was moving, he went, you know, from the dressing room to the makeup room. Everybody says, okay, Johnny's gone, Johnny's moving. It was like a White House Secret Service detail. You just sensed, right? There was energy. And you just go, okay, there's Johnny. So his presence. And it was all about him. Everybody wanted the show, and everybody was on their best, putting it on their best game to make a great show for Johnny. So, you know, that's the spirit of our show. You see these people scurrying. You know, his writers were always on the edge of their seat. If a joke died in Johnny's hands, guess who's getting fired next week? You, not him.
But he made it funny, even
he
at that moment.
Those were even funnier when he would miss. And that's how I was just spoke to his skill as a comic.
You built the early 1970s Burbank set, and to me, that is just about the coolest thing to see, that because the set is almost one of the stars itself.
Yeah, we really made a point to be as authentic as we could. So we replicated his desk, and we got the curtains, and we had the set. And as I said, Jeff Sotting, his nephew, runs the Carson company, was our partner on this. So he was there to say, no, that microphone was not quite right. And we'd get it as, you know, we had the actual 1972 NBC cameras with the logo still. They're still in storage somewhere. And there was one day we were sitting on the, you know, in between takes, and we're sitting on the couch just sitting down. It was Tony Danza and myself. And we happened during a break, they put on some music just, you know, to keep everybody going. It was Doc Severinsen, was the band.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they would record that during the commercials.
Sure.
Well, you were watching commercials. The audience was watching.
Entertaining. They were entertained, yeah.
Right. So there we were just sitting on the couch taking a break, and this music's playing. And then we just went, oh, it felt like we got to come back from commercial and be talking to Johnny. It kind of was a mind trip. It's like, oh, my God, that felt real.
That's very cool. That's very cool. You mentioned Tony Danza. He plays Fred DeCordova.
Yes.
Also, who was a television legend behind the camera. Jack Benny, The Tonight Show, of course, with Johnny. I think he captures Fred very nicely.
Yeah, Tony Danza is so terrific in this, and it's surprised. A lot of people didn't even recognize him because he just, I mean, he didn't change his look, but he knew Fred, and Fred was this larger-than-life, old-school Hollywood guy, and Tony Danza knew him very well. Tony actually hosted this show a couple of times, The Tonight Show. So he knew Fred DeCordova, and he really disappears into that character, and he's so good. He's one of these guys who makes it look easy, and you don't realize how good he is. So, yeah, it's a thrill for me to see him in this, and we have a bunch of actors that America doesn't know now, but hopefully will soon, and this very sweet kid, Ian Nelson, who is like the character, just this puppy of a kid that you just hope he doesn't get hurt on.
Right,
there.
Right.
And this woman, Jane Levy, who's just a phenomenal actress, playing the lead, who's the woman lead, who is this very complex, troubled Beverly Hills child who is trying to prove herself. She works at the show, and she's the talent coordinator that interviews the guests and so on. And it was not easy to be young in that show, and it was not easy to be a woman in a very, it was a very male set. And, you know, we're seeing now it's still hard to get the balance right and for women to be comfortable and treated as equals. But we did a story, one of the episodes was she finds out that her colleague who does the same job is getting more money. And she goes to complain about it. And Fred DeCordova, Tony, as Fred goes, she says, it's not fair. And he said, what do you mean it's not fair? He's a man. It's like, yeah.
That's
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah, and right. Yeah.
Didn't even, never questioned it. Like, well, why wouldn't he? Because men get more than women.
Yeah.
So it really, and
captures the moment of time that we were living in at that time.
Yeah.
It does.
And we get to use a lot of Johnny's clips. The ones we chose were sometimes just because they were funny, but sometimes it was we needed to show what the mindset was back then. So for that episode, you'll see we have clips of Johnny talking about the Miss America pageant and just how he spoke about women. And it was just of a different time.
It's a great storyline, and the show really makes clever use of that, the footage that you're showing and the various guests that you have on within the narrative of the show. And I think that's really what makes this show very special.
Well, I think so, and I'm very happy to hear you say it. And, you know, there's so much great content out there now with one of the pluses and minuses of all these new places to watch the content. So you
right.
have, you know, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon didn't exist 5-7 years ago, or 2 years ago in Hulu's case.
Yeah.
You know, it's new that they're doing original content. But it's the big plus is that you get to watch all these things, and sometimes it's hard to find your audience because there are so many other places that people are watching. So I'm going door to door now.
There's Johnny, now streaming on Hulu. And again, check it out and get signed up for a subscription at Hulu.com. You can also catch Paul in Red Oaks on Amazon and Stranger Things 2. What a hot show that is, too, man.
Yeah, you know, I try to help them out and show up and, because nobody had ever heard of their show till I came on board.
Fantastic, Paul.
Yeah, that's a great fun show. Couldn't be more different.
No, I know.
There's Johnny. But it's they're great, and it's so fun to be invited on board to something like
that. That's got to be fun and exciting, all the different things you're working on these days.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun.
Pleasure talking to you, and congrats on the new series, Paul.
Thanks so much.
All right. Much more ahead on 720 WGN.